The Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was speaking to his disciples and said, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then the man went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents. Say, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I made 5 more talents. The master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talents in the ground. Here, have what is yours." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him. Give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless servant, throw him into the outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Remember that first time when you got to have the house to yourself? You know, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt and uncle, whoever it was that was your loved one and caretaker who you lived with, they had decided, they had consoled amongst themselves or in their thoughts, you're ready. They can go out, they can go to the party with the friend's house, and they're going to leave you alone. The whole house, it's yours. All this freedom, it's all for you. Now, of course, if your grandma or your aunt or your mom was like mine that first time or first few times around, it meant running around the house, checking the locks on the door and on the windows and making sure you knew all the numbers that were on that list, because that emergency list, by the time you got through it, probably either the emergency would have been gone anyway or bad things would have happened. This was before 911, at least when I was a kid. But you had all those numbers, and somewhere on that list was the friend's number where mom and dad were going, and so they'd point to that number and say, "Call that number, we will be there, we will answer the phone, we will help you out. Just know that it's available." And then they'd run around and show you the oven and where the leftovers were in the fridge and all that stuff. And in the back of our mind, we're just saying, go. The house is ours. We want this freedom. It's all us. We want the joy of this building, all of it to ourselves. We get to have this, and if only they would just leave. Except there was also that little voice in the back of our mind, you know, the part that we don't want to admit at all, that one little voice that said, "Please don't go." Because this is a lot, and it's a little scary to do all this by ourselves. And if we have younger siblings, 1, 2, or 3 extra kids in the house, now we're responsible for them, because they come with this house, and it's part of the responsibility and the joy. All of it is being handed over to us. In a silly sort of way, I guess, that's what's going on in the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter. Last week we heard about the bridesmaids, and if we were able to be here, we heard Vicar Karin preach about these bridesmaids, and they were waiting. And they were waiting for the party, and they were waiting with joy, and then they were just kind of waiting around because eventually the bridegroom's going to show up, right? And then they fell asleep, waiting, and the story was about keeping awake and waiting for the inevitable to happen. And this week, right after that story, we have this story about the servants who are put in charge of talents. And we should probably clarify, or at least I'm going to clarify real quick, that talents aren't just necessarily our skills and abilities. It's not our ability to do art or to sing or to dance or to hammer nails well or to bend metal or to fix engines. Talents were a thing. They were physical objects. They were gold, or they were made out of a precious metal, and they were huge. Now, the value of them depended on what tribe or nationality you might have come from. You know, you dig into Bible scholars, and it just becomes a mess. But the best guess is that they probably weighed about 50 or 60 pounds each. So these are not just coins that we slip into our pocket. This isn't just a banknote that we keep in our wallet. These are physical objects, and they have remarkable wealth. Jesus tells us this parable, and he calls it the man. So we later on call him the master. We could also call him the wealthy landowner or businessman, because that's the kind of person to have this crazy amount of wealth, and he gives it over to his servants. He simply gives it to them. And in this story, two of the servants, they take their talents, these huge gold rocks, and whatever they do with them, they somehow double their value. They expand their worth. And the third servant doesn't do that. He buries it in the ground. And again, a reminder that these aren't just coins in a pocket. This was a huge rock, so this would have been digging a rather large hole, probably something like a shallow grave. We know this story. Some of us have heard this story many, many times in our lives. It's a difficult story, especially when Matthew tacks on that last part, the weeping and gnashing of teeth. We cringe at that. We're not quite sure what to do with that. We don't know what this tells us about God, what this tells us about Jesus, what this tells us about our life in Christ. Though sometimes we're prone to pick up a sub-thread that if we work really hard, like apparently the first two servants did, if we just grind it out, if we pray a little bit more, if we come to worship a little bit more, if we do just a little bit more, then we can prove our worth and our worthiness in God's presence, as if God's kingdom runs like a ledger, like a corporation. Now, we know that's not the case. We know that. That makes sense to us, and yet we are tempted to think that way in our relationship with God, and we're tempted to look at our brothers and sisters that way. How much have we earned? How much have we done? How much have we accomplished? How much can we prove that we are truly God's people? And if we don't do these works, then will God take it all away? So let's just take that idea and get rid of it. Let's just slide it out of the way. I know it's there. It's in the back of our minds. We're going to name it, and we're going to push it off to the way, out of the way. I want to invite us to think about this story in a sense like a loved one making the house ready for us, because we are about to be in charge. So again, last week we heard about these bridesmaids, and Vicar Carr made this very astute observation. Matthew 25 is happening during the disciples' Holy Week. Jesus has just come from the temple. He's hanging out on the Mount of Olives, so they're looking out over Jerusalem, and this is the week. In fact, these are just the last few hours together. This means that while we're hearing this parable about the talents, there's a carpenter somewhere in town who is carving a cross in his garage. Judas Iscariot in chapter 26, right after this story, he's going to head out and he's going to work his deal. Right now, the bread for the Last Supper is being kneaded out on some baker's counter. This is happening. Jesus knows this. The disciples don't know this. We know this because we're post-resurrection Christians and we get hindsight. But what Jesus is doing in a strange sort of way through parables that don't make sense is that he's making us ready to run the house. This house that God gives us, because Jesus is going away. Now, you and I, we talk about loving Jesus, and we talk about knowing Jesus, and we talk about seeing Jesus in the embodiment of our neighbor and our stranger, but we know that we can't see his physical appearance, his presence, his flesh and blood without faith. His entire being is going to be transformed through the cross and through Easter morning. So Jesus is getting us ready to run the house, the kingdom of heaven, if you will. It's going to be put into our hands. It's our responsibility. We are the ones who are going to be called on to manage it. Now, it's still God's, of course. We know that. God gave us this house so that we can open these doors. We know God is God, but this building, which represents for us the nearness and the safety and the compassion of Christ, this building, which was given to us by the generations before us, this building, which we will pass on to generations after us, maybe, this building, these people, this church, it's ours. God's giving it to us. And that's our joy, to have this kind of talent, to have this kind of precious value in our reach. And God gives it to our care. This is a glimpse of the infinite wealth of forgiveness, grace, love, and care that God has been offering creation since light and night were separated on that first day. All of this, all of you, all of our neighbors, everything we know, it is a gift from God. And Jesus is giving it away. That also means that, like the disciples in Matthew 25, we don't get to hide behind Jesus anymore. We don't get to hope that he's going to just one day show up and he's going to give all the right words and he's going to say all the right things and everything will be fixed. We don't get to hope that Jesus is just going to show up and scoop up the kiddos and heal the sick and dole out the bread and the fish like he's always done, because that's what Jesus does. All the gifts and all the responsibility of this talent is ours. Which means in this community, every struggling mother who's worn out and searching for one more meal for their child, every naked neighbor who's doesn't have enough clothes to endure these winter winds, every child, every man, every woman, every classmate, every colleague, every coworker, every person that we know who has been told that they are unworthy because of their image that God has given them, because it doesn't match the image of those who have power, this is our call. The kingdom is ours. This glorious, precious gift, it is ours. So Jesus, being our loved one, our caretaker in this last chapter, before the closing chapters of his earthly ministry, he's running around, he's checking the locks, he's checking the doors, he's making sure we know how to use the oven to make the bread ourselves, he's making sure that we understand who we can call on, that God is at the top of the list, that God is our God, that God is still here with us, that God is our center, our source, that God is our greatest fear and our deepest love. Every aspect of our being, every person who we know, every corner of our lives, it is part of this joyous gift that God gives us. In our parable for today, Matthew 25, the first two servants, if you will, they joyfully receive these talents that the landowner has given them. And whatever they do, they multiply their value. They expand their reach. They expand the impact of what they can do. The third servant seems to focus on himself. He focuses on his fear. He focuses on his self-preservation, his care, his protection of self. He focuses on this gift that the landowner has given him, and he dreads and he worries and he wonders what will happen. And so he takes it and he buries it in the ground. Or I suppose we could say a grave. And because this parable was shared with us to make us ready, because our faith in Christ is not built on guilt, it's built on love, Jesus then takes on this parable and he lives out this parable. He leads us through this story and he gives his gift of life away so that the kingdom of heaven can be ours. Jesus recenters us on the cross and he turns us back away from all our fears and all our doubts and all our wonders if we've done enough or if we could do more and all of our inadequacies and all of our wonders. And he turns us back to God, our source, our life, our joy. Jesus takes God's exquisite gift of life and he breaks it and he divides it in our midst. He multiplies it and he casts out his light to every single one of us, and it passes through us, and it passes beyond us, and beyond these walls, and these windows, and these locked doors, and it spreads out beyond our imagination. Jesus claims us. He feeds us. He cares for us as his precious gift, and he renews our hearts. From all the ways that we try to protect ourselves and protect what we've been given, so that we can give ourselves away to the lives of God's people in our midst. Our hungry ones, our sad ones, our poor and abandoned ones, the ones who have little to show for themselves, those of us here who struggle in our hope, our people, God's joy, for whom this house is built, for whom our gift is meant to be given away. Jesus is getting us ready for the moment, for the opportunity which might happen this week, which might happen an hour from now, where we get to share God's kingdom and give our lives away as Christ gave away God's kingdom to us. Brothers and sisters, may we remember that our life is a gift from our God who loves us, and may we know how precious our gift is in the lives of all those who we encounter. Amen.